Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
I'm motivated, 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 motivated.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh, and I'm motivated today.
You are motivated.
I'm motivated by power and by fun and by peace.
Oh.
Peace be with you.
Yes, you are.
And also with you.
Well, we've been having this conversation about colors. It's super popular right now, the color codes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to describe it.
Van Benson here locally, he goes around to businesses and churches and he does these personality tests for teams of people just so that they can know where the motivation is these folks act on.
Uh-huh.
And it helps understand each other a little better. So yeah. It's kind of like a personality test.
Yeah.
Kind of. So what are the colors?
Well, there's four colors. You can actually go take the test at motivematters.com or colorcode.com, both of those, and find out what color you are. There's red, blue, white, and yellow. Reds are motivated by power. Reds are the power wielders, the ability to move from point A to point B and get things done. The blues are motivated by intimacy. Blues are the do-gooders.
I am a blue.
Wait, why did your voice just change?
Because yeah. I went to my intimate voice. They bring great gifts of quality and service and are generally loyal, sincere, and thoughtful.
Man, I'm an awesome blue.
But you don't sound like that.
No, I don't.
Well, the thing is I am completely fabricating my blue because I really don't have a whole lot of blue.
Josh is not motivated by
like
quality,
less than 1%.
Loyalty, intimacy.
Whites are the peacekeepers. They have the ability to stay calm and balanced, even in the midst of conflict. They're organized people.
Oh, no, I'm not white at all.
And then yellows are life of the party. They are motivated by fun.
Yeah.
They have the joy of living life in the moment. They're usually procrastinators. They don't take things too seriously. And they're all just having a good time.
See, I'm a blue-yellow. I love to have fun in my small, intimate setting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What are you, Clint?
Well, I used to be really red, like very driven. And then over the years, you know, I've gone past 30 and I've gone past 40. And so now I'm more white than red.
Mm.
But I do have a lot of blue in there.
Yeah.
I love connecting one-on-one with people. And very little, I would say maybe no yellow.
No yellow. I really don't think
surprise,
so.
Surprise, surprise for all of our show listeners.
Yeah. Which is interesting. They say opposites attract. And I see that with you guys. I see that with myself and my wife.
Yeah.
And I also see that as in our partnership, Clint.
Yeah.
Because growing up, I was almost 100% yellow.
Wow.
So as a kid,
that must have been really hard on your parents.
98.8% yellow.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then in my 20s, I grew up somewhere between 22 and 27. Whenever I came into maturity, I became very driven. So red kind of took over. So mm-hmm. I'm probably a little over a third red, probably half yellow still.
Yeah.
And then I've got some white in there as well.
Uh-huh.
Very little blue.
And whites, are they typically the more quiet people or does it always not work like that?
I think whites and blues are both introverts. So they're both kind of quiet. Yellows and reds are more extroverts. So
yeah,
you may have more white than you think.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
You have a lot of white, at least with me. And I think that you can display different parts of your colors in different situations. Like you could be very red in a work type of a,
oh, right.
a
right.
situation. And then at home, very white.
Yeah.
Right. And you're required to almost, Clint, to kind of come out of your shell and be an extrovert.
Especially That's true. In,
you know, whenever you're...
Josh, I feel like I should pay you for your time.
Yeah. I wonder if your red was developed in the military.
Possibly. Yeah. I was in the military in my 20s. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting stuff.
And it's so fun, I think, to go through this and talk about it. Of course, my blue loves it because I'm gaining understanding of everyone around me. And I want to just, like, analyze everyone.
Well, I just want to get on with the show. So today we're going to be talking with the Harrimans again, RK Missions, missionaries to Latin America. And we're going to do part two of Journey of World Changers. And today on the show, we're going to be discussing and sharing with one another some of those moments that took us from point A to point B. Mm. So it's a red show.
Oh, come on.
Stick around. Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be talking about revolutionary writers, and we're sitting down with Stephen Duncan. He is the owner and founder of Next Level Songs, and he's got a resume like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's been involved with the industry since he was a wee babe.
Is he Irish?
Oh, he's been involved with the ministry since he was a wee lad.
No, he's been the creative manager for Centricity Records. The guy's legit.
Yeah.
And we're going to be sitting down with him and talking about writing songs that shift things across the globe.
Yeah. Powerful stuff.
Today we are going to be discussing a little bit later in the show the journey of world changers and some of the experiences that the Harrimans have had in Latin America as missionaries down there with RK Missions. And some of their stories are just unbelievable. Let's share some of our stories and kind of those transformative moments that we've had.
Well, we like to say this all the time, but pretty much wherever you look, you can open your Bible and find somebody who has encountered God, who has had an encounter with him that changed the world around them. All these figures. I mean, we're talking about VBS Bible stories here, you know, David and Goliath, Moses, and, you know, all on up into the New Testament. Encounters with God that transform things. So that's why we put a huge value on encounters and even just want to spend this time talking about it. I know for me, the encounter essence of my relationship with him is everything. It can be when I'm reading the Bible or reading a book or driving somewhere, but when he breathes on you, there's no mistaking the encounter that comes. And Haley, I would like to start off with you. Speaking of driving down the road, can you articulate what happened to you not too long ago when Jesus was talking to you on the way to go minister to those ladies?
Well, I was just driving down 7th Street, minding my own business. A few days prior, I had, I don't know if I'd call it a vision. We were having a prayer time and I saw something, and I was with Jesus and we were in a garden and he walked me around a corner. It was like an orchard garden. And in this like secret special place, there was a raised bed made of stone and it was filled with tulips. And he ran his hand across it and he said, "These are my girls." And I was like, oh my gosh, this is weird. Like, I think that I have crossed over into the land of, oh, that was not God, you know? Like,
and what did you have for breakfast?
Yeah, it really bugged me because I was like, what? What does that even mean? So then a few days later, I was just driving down 7th Street. It was like a freight train sideswiped me, like a Holy Spirit freight train. And all of a sudden, I had this massive encounter with God, and I understood that all of those flowers were all of these women that had been through, you know, horrific things, abuse, rape, tragedy, they're fatherless. They're women that for a long time our society would consider tarnished. In history, those kinds of women have been really labeled and looked down on. But in Jesus's eyes, they were precious. Mm. They were delicate. They were beautiful. And he was very proud and excited that they were his. It was just a time that for me personally, I was like, I'm one of those flowers. Mm. And all these other women that I know, and I all of a sudden had this revelation of my own worth in the eyes of Jesus, but separate from any other kind of a, I'm so proud of who I am. It was like a genuine, like, I see what he sees in me.
Wow.
It was wild.
Wow.
I love tulips.
They were beautiful. They were the most beautiful tulips I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. For me, one of the most powerful things that has ever happened to me was about 4 or 5 years ago, before we decided to make the move from Kansas City back to Southwest Missouri, Joplin area. And I was praying about moving back. And, you know, in a very unspiritual kind of decision or atmosphere, I'm like, well, my house is crazy, 3 boys, I get home from work, there's lots of stuff going on. I was like, well, I'm just going to get out of the house and go walk around our neighborhood. And I did that 3 days in a row, just a walk after work. And I had a 3-day-long encounter that changed the fabric of who I am on the inside. It so impacted me that I had trouble for several weeks talking. My lips felt funny, and it was just so life-altering that it changed my ability to function in the natural world. And in this encounter, I would walk and pray around my neighborhood about the fact, you know, we're going to uproot our family and move to Joplin. I found myself in these encounters that were strange because I was in 2 different worlds at the same time. The culmination of this was I was walking and it started to rain, and it was not raining in the natural, but oh my goodness, it was raining on me. And the rain was like this magical sparkling rain. Think Disney, okay? Something like that. And that rain intensified and intensified and intensified to the place where, and you ever experienced this, but the downpour was so loud that it literally drowned out all other sound. And I was in that downpour, and it felt like I was there for years in my 40-minute walk. And that was the culmination of that experience. And that was really the birth in me of what will become Next Gen Worship. I'm still changed and carrying the effects of that encounter to this day, 4 or 5 years later.
Wow, that's so awesome. I've heard that story, but every time I hear it, I almost feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I'm experiencing it with you. And, you know, I've had several of those moments where Holy Spirit speaks to my heart or reveals something to me that I wasn't aware of before that changes everything. One of the more recent ones that I encountered was last year at the All About Worship conference. Mm-hmm. And we're in the middle of worship, and I'm just standing there. We're in a room. It's incredible worship, incredible sound, you know, enjoying all the aspects of it. And I was taken into another place.
Yeah.
I was transported into a long hallway, and there was like a light at the end of the hallway, like a doorway, and I could see kind of a shadowy silhouette of somebody. I could faintly hear them saying, "Come on." You know, and so I started to walk toward them kind of hesitantly at first. And then I realized I recognized his voice, and it was Jesus.
Wow.
And so I took off running down this hallway. And by the time I got to the end of the hallway, he was gone. He had gone through the door, and it was just like a big old bright white doorway. And as soon as I hit that doorway, it was almost like I fell into he was standing there and he caught me. And we fell down together, and we're in the middle of this field, And he starts wrestling with me and tickling me. And I realize at this moment that I'm like maybe 6 or 7 years old. And in that moment, I was a little boy and he was like my daddy. He was just like wrestling around with me and we were laughing. And I was in that moment, it seemed like you said, for years. And we were just having fun and playing together. There was no exchange. There was no like intellectual assent or some kind of big revelation. It was just this overwhelming feeling of acceptance and love and approval. And I had nothing to prove anymore. That's how he saw me. Just like he saw you as mm-hmm. a beautiful tulip. He saw me as this little guy. Like I've got a 5-year-old little boy and he just melts my heart. You got a little guy that's mm-hmm. got a birthday. So mm-hmm. It's just neat to see it from that perspective, from the little boy's perspective. I opened my eyes and I'm back in worship service again.
How did that change you? I'm curious, because I know that was a calendar moment for you.
It gave me more security than I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And I think that was the biggest benefit of that encounter was, I mean, I had understood identity before that. I had understood who I was in Christ and I understood a lot of it, but most of what I understood and most of the revelation that I had gotten from the Lord was very intellectual. Hmm. That was a heart moment that I can't explain intellectually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could not explain it in a way that, oh, I got this. I understand mm-hmm. this. No, that was a moment of sheer, just like my heart swelled and I just felt completely accepted and completely loved and completely okay. Mm-hmm. You know, what I carry now from that is I can close my eyes at any moment that I'm feeling a little messed up or not quite right. Wow. And see that encounter that I had with Jesus in that field.
Yeah.
And everything's okay again.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. That's really true, because I feel the same way about mine. Like I can just go there if I need to and remember, no, wait, he has shown me what he thinks of me. Mm-hmm, he has shown me my worth. And I think that God does that to us and for us on purpose to give us a place to, you know, plant our flag.
Right, right. And to reassure us, like I'm sure in your case, Clint, there's been doubts along the way. Like, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And that encounter that God showed you was so powerful and so prevalent and so altering mm-hmm. to your whole structure mm-hmm. and way of thinking mm-hmm. that you know for sure this is what God said to do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important to understand that those who have encounters carry encounters, and we are carrying these encounters not only within ourselves, but they are released when we make contact with the world.
They're being released right now. That's beautiful. Well, some people that have had some incredible encounters, I'm a bit envious, really. I mean, I would love to sell everything and just go, you know? That's exactly what Rob and Catherine Harriman did a couple of years ago when they sold all their stuff and just moved to Mexico. And they've traveled throughout Mexico, Central and South America, and have been missionaries there now with story after story after story about how God has moved. What I love about them is they're not there on a practical mission. They're there on a spiritual encounter mm-hmm. with the Latin people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is what everything is born out of. They're not there to build schools or orphanages, or although some of that takes place. Mm-hmm. They're there to bring encounter, just like we did today. And some of those encounters will be shared in our interview with them, part two of a journey of world changers coming up on the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
So I've been using pads in worship for like 4 or 5 years. And I remember when they first came out, very popular, like it's a new thing. There's only like one pad set available. So I downloaded them and it's like, wow, this is great. And just by default, I just use those forever. You know, it's like, you know, people come out with different pads and like, hey, this is great. Well, I've already got some. Why do I need new ones? Until we heard about Core Sound pads. And then I checked them out and found out they had all these different varieties. And so I tried them out at the last 24-hour worship gathering that we had in our city. And I was actually going through and finding the actual set of pads that sounded best with the type of music I was doing, the songs I was doing. And that was so awesome because it wasn't, you know, me making do with an ambient pad set in the background that may or may not quite match. And every now and then it sounds like it's off, you know. But when we used the Core Sound pads, man, I was able to kind of tailor the sound I wanted for the set I was doing, which was way beyond anything that I was used to before.
Go to CoreSoundPads.com. That's C-O-R-E, CoreSoundPads.com. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your bundle today.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Stephen Duncan. He is the owner and founder of Next Level Songs. He's been the creative manager at Centricity Music and been involved in the music industry for several years now. And we were able to sit down with him and become close friends and kind of embark on some really great projects coming up in the near future. We're excited to be talking with him next week. Today, we're continuing our conversation with Rob and Catherine Harriman from RK Missions, Missionaries to Latin America. And here is part two of their interview.
All right, welcome back, Rob and Catherine Harriman. Last week we talked about, man, some of the miracles you guys are seeing, you know, in Bolivia and different places. Love the miracles, love the stories of when God invades. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this among ourselves, but we love those times, especially like when people we admire, like David Hogan, he's like, you know, I love it when we have such a strong encounter with God that it goes three villages deep.
Yeah.
You know? And so looking for those presence type of encounters. So I want to talk to you guys about what's happening on the inside. You know, we talk about what's happening on the outside, miracles and different things. Let's talk about who you are on the inside. Let's talk about the way you approach missions. It's really interesting to me, and I think that it's applicable anywhere in the world, honestly, you know? So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, we've been doing missions for like 12 years as a couple, and Catherine was a missionary girl, you know, when she was seven. Mm-hmm. So we've seen modern missions movement. And what I believe is happening, and Catherine is going to explain this a little bit in a minute, is that God is literally revolutionizing missions as we speak.
Amen.
And he is doing something totally new. And like, there's several people out there leading the charge. And we want to be leading the charge in Latin America and doing something different. Because Catherine and I both believe the next great mission movement people, like the ethnicity of the next mission movement, is going to be Latin Americans. Because they can get into countries that I can't get into.
That's right.
We have friends that are in Turkey right now that are Hispanic that I can't go to.
Oh, wow.
So God's calling us to really be a catalyst to have a revolution in missions.
Yeah, to raise up Latin Americans that can go into countries that are close to us. I believe the statistic is how many countries can we not go to as United
About
States?
60% of the countries can't get into. Wow,
and those are the places nobody's heard. So some people are like, oh, you're going to Mexico to start a base. Like there's a billion missionaries in Mexico. But the point is to raise up a generation of Latin American missionaries that will then go into those unreached countries. But the way we want to do it is not the typical model. I grew up from the time I was 7 till I was 13 in a mission organization in Guatemala, and they focused on buildings and lots of Martha ministries, kind of what we call it. You go in and you build things, you have medical clinics, you deal with the physical aspect of people's needs. And what we would love to see happen in missions is a Mary ministry. And I believe there will be Martha aspects to it where you do practical things to touch people and to get those doors open. But the center of everything you do comes out of a presence of the Lord, comes out of prayer, comes out of a heart for the Lord. And we're seeing in ministry, we've done events where we build houses or we do medical ministry. We don't see one miracle the whole time. We see maybe a few salvations. People are very grateful. Then we have done almost the same setting, same volunteers, but more of a Mary-centered ministry where there's a heavy prayer and intercession focus. There's worship going on. We had one event where we had a worship room while people were seeing patients in the medical clinic. Things like that, they set the stage for the miraculous and the supernatural. And so that's sort of what we're seeing more of, a Mary-focused ministry. The base we want to have in Mexico that we're going to begin pioneering this year will be less about the building,
less about the structure, the physical structure, and more about the presence. And so the focus will be to create a place where spiritually people can come and encounter the Lord, encounter His presence, and out of encounter with the Lord, go out on the streets and basically create a new encounter mm-hmm. on the street. Mm-hmm. When people find God, they encounter God, they want Him, mm-hmm. and they respond. And we've seen that over and over again in cultures and countries where people should be resistant to God. We were ministering in a very high witchcraft area in Bolivia, and people, you almost couldn't keep them from coming to the Lord. They were so hungry because He came, He showed up, His presence was there, healing power was there, conviction of sin was there, and it causes a response. We had an opportunity to go to a hospital in Bolivia. And again, a very high witchcraft area. We had to drive through about 4 blocks of all witchcraft stands. And you could buy anything and everything that had to do with spells and incantations and tarot cards and all of that. And so we go to this hospital. You could tell people are offended you're there because you're a Christian. And they don't like that. But over the time that we begin to present, you could see their hearts soften. And they became more and more willing for you to come and talk to them and pray with them. So we got an opportunity to go to a patient room. There were about 12 women in beds. And Rob and I, with our oldest son, Isaac, went in this room. And I said, before we get started, let's worship. So we just started to worship. And my son and I sang, and Rob played guitar. And we kept singing, and we kept singing till the presence of God filled the room. And we had probably sung 20 minutes. And we look around, and these women, first of all, they didn't know the song. It was one of our songs. They had learned it, so they started singing it with us, and they're just laying in bed, tears coming down their faces, worshiping Jesus. They felt the presence of God. So then I told Isaac and Rob, keep going, you know? So I went over and I started talking to these women. Every single one of them got saved. Every single one of them, when I prayed for them for healing from pain, the pain instantly left their bodies. Yeah. One older lady was really lethargic, laying back in bed. She could barely speak above a whisper. And when I started talking to her about forgiveness of sin, and I said, do you have sin? And she's like, yes, I do. And there was such a conviction in the room. She was crying. Mm-hmm. And so I said, do you want Jesus to take your life and make it new and completely do away with all your sin? And she said, yes, I do. And I've never had seen someone more anxious to accept Jesus in that woman that day. And I prayed with a lot of people. We got to the part where you pray, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And she couldn't get through the prayer without sobbing. She was crying and praying. And I can tell you, that kind of conviction,
yeah,
if it came to our nation, it would change everything.
Yeah, she was having an encounter.
It was absolutely incredible. So we finish, we pray. Her son kind of walks up. So I say something to her son. And when I look back at her, by this time, she sat up in bed, and she looks at me, and with a completely normal tone of voice, strength in her eyes, says, when are you coming to my house? Like, she was physically healed as she got saved. Wow. So again, that just makes the point of a presence-centered ministry, and that's really what we want to see.
Let's dial in on that a little bit, because this is a bit of an intangible. Sometimes you say presence, and people kind of look at you blankly. You know, the presence of God is the power of God on the earth. Let's talk about that a little bit. How do you access, like Rob and Catherine, how do you access presence? What is presence? How does that work in your life? What are the practical things? You know, what's the heart position? What do you do to carry this presence into situations like this and see these dramatic results?
Well, I think one of the important things you have to walk in is favor. You have to know you're favored by God. You have to know that He is crazy about you. He loves you. And I feel like in Christendom, we can get in our religious box of like, I have to be good enough. That's like that older brother in the prodigal son story of trying to earn his father's favor. And the prodigal son was a booger. He smelled like pig stink. And his father, at the same time he smells and he stinks and he's ugly, he's got a ring of authority on his hand. He's got a mantle that speaks of sonship and righteousness. And he's got shoes on that speak of purpose and call. And so you have to see yourself as that, no matter how bad your past may be or how much you think, hey, I'm not perfect in this area. God's not looking for your perfection. He made you a son. So you have to walk as a son in his favor every single day. And the second thing that I would say, instead of using the word presence, is carry God's heart. And when you carry God's heart, a compassion comes. How many times did Jesus heal in the Bible? And it says he was moved with compassion. Right. And I believe it's the presence of God. The Holy Spirit would come on him. The presence of God would come and it would move him with compassion. And so I think we're talking about the same thing. Presence is compassion. It's God's heart. And what I would challenge you to do as you walk in favor as a son, that you begin to see other people in that same favor. God sees them the same way. And how can you be an instrument of reconciliation to bring them back to the Father?
Yeah.
And that's God's heart.
Yeah,
I think it's so interesting, you know, we talked about the prodigal, that, you know, God didn't clean him up before he put the ring on his finger. He still had pig stink all over him. That's one thing I've always thought up until probably the last 3 years is, you know, one point I'm going to be like the famous Smith Wigglesworth, yeah, and I'm going to achieve that perfection that he did, and then I can move in the powerful. And that is really tradition and religion,
yeah,
that has told you you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're just not ready yet. How many times has my mind said you're not ready yet? And remember, the devil always talks in first person. So it makes it sound like it's me, like I'm not ready yet. I've realized that's a lie of the devil, because there's a whole mass of people that need a touch from God, yeah, right now.
And you're, yeah, carrying it.
And you're, right, carrying it. I have it. So how dare I not give it out? And so that's why we love it, because it's like we have to go pay internet down in the city where we live, and it's about a 45-minute trip. And it's like God will just move my heart for the lady taking my ticket. And I'm like, oh my goodness, God wants to move on her.
Yeah.
And so really, we also realize it's not about doing a big outreach in Bolivia. It's also everyday living. And as you do it every day, it gets more familiar. Mm-hmm. And Holy Spirit has a language. And at first you feel uncomfortable with that language, like how he talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you eventually fine tune into that language of Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, he's talking right now. He wants to move.
Right.
He has a word for this person. And like Catherine said, with compassion, Catherine and I try to be moved by compassion. And it's easy to look at somebody's situation and be like, oh my goodness, what have they got themselves into now? And you, that critical thing comes upon you. Especially come from Southwest Missouri. So I have to realize that's not Holy Spirit talking. So if I can touch a person, I usually can get the compassion for them. I was in Costa Rica. God drew me to a guy. And I said, listen, I have something I want to pray. Can I pray for you about something? And he kind of like, yeah. And then his phone rang. And so he answered his phone. And you're like, I'm a moron. This is not God. And then he hangs up his phone. He's like, what'd you want? I said, I wanted to be like, oh, nothing. See ya. But I was like, is there something I can pray with? And he's in tears, rolled down his face. He goes, my daughter died this morning.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, are you, you know, at first I was like, are you kidding me? I had no words.
Yeah.
But you know what I did have? I had a hug, and I let that guy cry on me.
Wow.
And I cried on him, and I let the compassion of God come right out of me.
Yeah.
And God's looking for that in Joplin, Missouri. He's looking that in Neosho. He's looking that for that in Mexico. And so anyway, that's how we really try to get that presence of God moving, is really through his compassion. And just seeing, and this is so cliche, we always talk about, but we never do it, is seeing people through God's eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you really do have to check in, because you'll get on your like agenda for the day and you just blow past people, you know, and all of a sudden you have to stop yourself and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I just walked into Walmart. What do you want to do today?
Yeah.
And you have to check in, because otherwise you will miss three different opportunities that you thought weren't that big of a deal, or I'm in a hurry and I'm thinking about my shopping list.
Yeah.
So that definitely is a discipline you do have to cultivate.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be Walmart. It can be Dollar General.
Or absolutely. Target.
Or Target.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to shop at Walmart.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Dollar General.
Or you know, we have a El Rey. El Rey in Panama.
We have a funny Dollar General story, because we just came back from being in Panama and Bolivia, and his parents sent us to the Dollar General to go buy something, and we were in there for like 45 minutes, and we're like, Dollar General is a nice store.
Can
look at all these nice things you can buy at Dollar. Oh my goodness, they have Pringles in Dollar General.
Pringles.
And yeah, I was amazed. We're missionaries.
We
don't get out much.
Yeah. Well, we love talking with you guys, love hearing your story, love hearing the story of how the presence of God is interacting between you and other people. You know, you guys are apostles and your pastors and your prophets going out and changing the world. So we champion you 100% and just say more favor and grace and presence upon you guys as you go.
Well, we love you guys. We think what you're doing here is, it's amazing. It kind of got started up as we were leaving. So, but we follow what's going on here. We love listening to the podcast. It feeds us. It's awesome to be partnered with you guys, and man, let's keep it going.
We breathe the same air. Yes. I like that.
Yeah, that's very good.
Our good friends, Rob and Catherine Harriman, so glad to connect with them as they're back in the States, and we wish them well. Going back into the mission field and starting some new projects, carrying the presence of God into a place that's going to be a catalyst for more missionaries that are birthed out of Latin America. Pray for them and lift them up and partner with them. Find out more about them at rkmissions.com. Next week, we're sitting down with Stephen Duncan. He is the owner and founder of Next Level Songs. So join us next week as we explore the Father's heart and find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.